if I focus on the outward more than the inward, then that tells me that I'm more concerned about what man sees and what man thinks. And it don't take a whole lot to fool people. You know what I'm saying? It doesn't take a whole lot to fool people outwardly. But when it comes to inwardly, there's no fooling God at all. So anyway, the scripture, of course you're familiar with it. You're familiar with this passage of scripture, what is taking place here. Saul has been removed from being king because of his disobedience. And God has sent Samuel down to the house of Jesse to find a replacement. So he goes to the house of Jesse, and verse number one, he tells Jesse that God said that he had provided himself a king among his sons. And so he tells Jesse to call all of his sons together. He calls, I believe, seven of them. And he begins to look at them. And the very first one he looked at was Eliab. And I believe that's right. And verse 6. And he looked so impressive that he even made this statement, "Surely the Lord's anointed is before me." And verse 7 is the text that we want to look at tonight, or just kind of get our thought going from, verse 7. "But the Lord said unto Samuel, look not on the countenance or on the height of his stature, because I have refused him." That's strong words, isn't it? Samuel was fooled, wasn't he? Samuel was a great prophet of God. Samuel was, he was one of the most outstanding. I don't know of anything right off in my mind negatively that's in the Word of God about Samuel that I can recall right now. There may be, but I can't recall it in my mind. But he was fooled right here. How was he fooled? He was fooled by the outward. He said, you're looking at the muscles and you're looking at the height and you're looking at the outward appearance. And God says, I don't look that. That's what man looks at. God looks at the heart. And that's one of the things I want to emphasize tonight before we leave is the importance of the inward, because God is looking. Because God is looking. So, of course, he went from Eliab to Abinadab in verse number 8 and went on down to Shammah, verse 9, and right on down through all of them. And he asked Jesse, after seven of them, verse number 10, had passed before Samuel, "Is this all of your sons?" And, of course, we know the story. And verse number 11, Jesse tells Samuel, no, this is not all of my sons. I still have one. He's yet the youngest one, and we know who that was. How many knows who that was? Well, praise the Lord, two of you. That's great. We're off to a good start. Good feedback tonight. Good participation. Everybody listening? Yeah. Anybody know who Jesus is? Yeah. How many is alive? Well, amen. We're working on it. So they went and got David, who was down there keeping the sheep. And David comes in, approximately 13 years old, and just doing his job. He wasn't even considered. Now, that right there would have knocked most of us out. I'd have had a poochie lip that long, probably, just by the fact that I wasn't even brought into the lineup. Even Jesse, the daddy, didn't even think that David was even worth going and getting that. Surely David, he's too little, he's too young, surely he's not going to be the one. So the very one that everybody was counting out, God counted in. God said, go get, that's him. As soon as he walked in, that's him, anointing. And we know that David was a great psalmist and great king, great leader. Of course, he failed. He fell and got flaws, as many of us do, all of us do, not many of us, all of us. That we don't have any halos yet. We're not perfect. God's working on us, and I'm thankful for that. But I want to deal with the importance of what God sees. How much time and attention do I give to that right there? How much time and attention do I give to what God sees? And not just what God sees, but what God requires. I just wrote down a few things. I'm going to read some scripture here and give you just a few things. It's going to be simple, but I'm not interested in being deep or simple. I'm interested in us getting a hold of the and be reminded once again that it's that inward condition that God is looking at. Man is looking on the outward appearance, and you can't deny that. That's all they have to look at. So they form their opinion. They get their idea of your testimony. They in essence, judge you as to, are you a Christian? Are you saved? Are you lost? By things they see from the outward appearance. And so I just wrote down these things, and we'll deal with them as the Lord will help us to tonight. And about the importance of inward purity. Let me just give you a few verses. Matthew chapter 5 and verse number 8, one of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. And that word blessed, of course, we all know means happy. Oh, how very happy. So that verse alone shows us that our happiness is attached to our heart, not what we have. A lot of times we think if I have more and get more and whatever, then that's where my happiness comes from. But God's word says, blessed, happy, oh, how very happy are the pure in heart. That's what God's word said. And I started doing a study on other places that word that's translated pure there shows up. And it's all in the New Testament. And that could have been a message in itself, but that's not, I don't think, what God wants us to emphasize. But I do want to give you one. John 15 in verse number 3, Jesus told his disciples, now ye are clean. That's the same word. He said, now are ye are clean through the word which I've spoken unto you. Blessed are the pure in heart. Blessed are the clean in heart. God wants us to focus on inward sanctification, inward purity, inward cleanliness. You're clean through the word that I've spoken unto you. Jesus is saying that's the purpose behind my preaching. That's the purpose behind the word that I've given to you and spoke to you, is that the word of God is to clean you up. How is that possible? How is that possible for the word of God to clean you up? Just hearing it, is that what does it? Reading it, is that what does it? No. I could tell you tonight, we could all spend hours on hours talking about a shower. But that won't help you get clean. I could tell you all about the faucet, and I could tell you all about the drain, and I could tell you all about all of that, but that won't do. You know what gets you clean? When you get in it. When you take what you know and you get in it. Turn the water on. Get in there, amen? You don't get clean looking at it. God says it's through His Word that He cleanses us. John 17, verse 17, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy Word is truth. Listen, this verse. Psalms 51, there's several verses there in that psalm, that penitent psalm of David when he's getting right with God after his sin with Bathsheba. But here's something he prayed about, and I'm going to just read it and go on. Chapter 51, verse 10, David said, after he'd prayed a lot of things, he'd prayed, wash me thoroughly and cleanse me and purge me and all of that. But he comes to verse 10 and he says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. That's what God's word says. David recognized, if I'm going to get right with God, I need to get clean on the inside. 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse 22. Seeing ye have purified your souls, How? In obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. See that you love one another with a pure heart fervently. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. I preached on this verse back earlier this year when I was preaching on some of the heart messages. 1 Peter 3:15, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Sanctify the Lord God in your hearts. That's something, isn't it? There are scriptures everywhere that talks about inward purity. When you talk about the heart, you're talking about the seat of your affection. You're talking about what controls your desires, what controls your decisions, what controls your directions. When you think about on the inside, what's on the inside of me, that's where your desires are formed. That's where your desires are birthed. That's where your desires are developed. Amen. And then on the inside, that, as I said earlier just a moment ago, that's where your directions, your decisions are all formed. The Bible said in Proverbs 4:23, keep thy heart without all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And the Lord began to deal with my heart this week about that. Just dealing with me personally about making more of an emphasis, making more of a big deal about inward purity. Amen. See, outwardly, you can't escape the eye of man. You just can't do it. We're in a world of over 7 billion people, and the Bible said no man lives to himself, no man dies to himself, and so somebody's going to be seeing you and watching you no matter where you go and what you do. Amen? I mean, you just can't get away from that. But God wants me to deal with, in my own personal life, and by the grace of God, I want the Lord to help me with it and teach me about how to even be more focused in my own heart about what God sees in my life and what God knows in my life. Would we not be better off if we did that? Oh, my goodness. All of us here tonight, we value external or outward cleanness. That's why we believe at least taking a bath once a week anyhow. Why? Because we value external cleanness. That's why the house, your homes have a vacuum cleaner. That's why. Amen. That's why you dust, and that's why you... Why? Because that there's that measure of cleanness. We're not a bunch of pigs, amen. We don't... I mean, a pig do fine and laying down in the mud hole and the mire, and the more it stinks, the better they like it. Amen. The more nasty it is, the better they like it. And Peter, the book of Peter even talked about, the sow that returned to the mire. I mean, you can wash them, you can give them a bath, put perfume on them, amen, tie a little pink bow around their head, and all of that, turn them loose, and they'll find the nastiest thing to get into that they can get into. The more it stinks, the better they like it. But we're not pigs, say amen right there. That's right. But God wants us to be focusing tonight on inward cleanness. Inward cleanness. If you go to a restaurant, talking about external, another thing about external, if you go to a restaurant or something and you see nastiness, you're probably not going to eat the food. Amen. I've asked them before when they come carry my food out, I'm talking about like a fast food place, they bring the food out. I say, are you not supposed to be wearing gloves? Well, yeah, we are, but, you know, we just didn't. I said, well, that's my food. And I have made them go back and fix it again. Make amen. You know why? Because I don't want to eat nobody else's finger nasty. I mean, they may have picked their nose. Lord only knows. Who knows? But we focus on that. We wouldn't eat nowhere nasty. We wouldn't sit down on a nasty chair. I mean, ain't that right? But what about the inward? We let that slip. We can let that slip because man can't see that. It's easy to hide it because man can't see it. And it's easy to just allow things to dwell on the inside that is grieving to God that man can't even see. Attitudes, amen, jealousy, bitterness, envy, strife, all of those things is on the inside. Boy, we need to watch out for that thing, amen. We need to watch out for that. Lord, help me with it. That's what I'm praying. God, help me with it. But as we look at our text here just briefly, I noticed some things that I feel like just the Lord wants me to dwell on myself and meditate on myself. And first is simply, I notice here, the reasoning look. And I look at that in Samuel. Samuel is looking on the outward with the outward. He's looking on the outward and he's using his eyes and that's his standard. And he looks at Eliab first and Abinadab second and Shammah third and on down the list. And he looks at them and the Lord showed me, Brother Ivan, he's doing the same thing they were doing. He was doing the same thing. Samuel, God's man, was doing the same thing that Eliab was doing. Eliab was rejected. Why? Because he was focusing on the outward and not the inward. Well, that's what Samuel was doing. Samuel was looking at the height of his stature and the countenance and formed his own judgment call that surely the Lord's anointed is before me. Boy, and I thought about Samuel, as godly a man as he was, he got caught up in that. He got to thinking that the spiritual is measured by the external. Now, I don't want nobody to go out of here tonight and say, well, preacher's saying the outward don't matter and outward don't play a part and you be telling a fib, amen. I'm emphasizing tonight the internal because I think that's where largely we're missing it. Amen. We let things be on the inside that if it was mud, we would never let it be on the outside. Amen. We'd find soap, water, brush, a side grinder or something to get it off of us. We wouldn't let what's on the inside stick on the outside. You probably would, if all the junk that's on the inside, amen, in our heart, if it got on our hands, we wouldn't even eat with it. We wouldn't pick up a piece of chicken or a biscuit. Because we'd think, oh my goodness, that's nasty. And you'd be finding somewhere to get clean. That's right. So there is, first off, there is the reasoning look. There is that reasoning look. You look, instead of allowing the Spirit of God to say yea or nay, amen, which Samuel finally did later, the last choice when David walks in, the Spirit of God said, that's him. God said, that's him. Anoint him with oil. That's the new king. But we're just like that. We wait till the last thing. We've measured it. We've looked at it. We've weighed it out with human looks and human limitations and human reasoning. And we miss God most of the time in that regard. I've been guilty of that. I've been guilty of going out of a church service thinking, Lord, have mercy. That was twice dead and plucked up by the roots. Was the word preached? Well, yeah. Well, it surely wasn't a bad service, was it? Was the songs of Zion sung? Well, yeah. Well, it couldn't have been a lost cause. Say amen right there. But I'm probably as bad as any, if not worse than any. about measuring whether we had a good service or not by some external things. How many went to the altar? Well, there may have been 20 go to the altar, but reckon why they went. Did they even pray when they got on the altar? Did they go on the altar because somebody else went? See how flimsy some of this stuff can break down? But anyway, there's the reasoning look. Samuel made his decision based on social, and a lot of times we do that. He based his decision on the physical. He based his decision on the social. He was looking at him, at Eliab there. He was making his decision based on material things. And I thought, you know, Lord, that's just exactly like the way we do. We look at the social status. We measure out things with the material status, possessions, if you will, and then the physical. The second thing I want you to see, and it's just simple stuff, but I hope God will speak to us with it. This is nothing new, nothing deep. But I want God to speak to us. He's speaking to me about it. Not only there is that reasoning, and I don't want to measure what's top quality and what God is looking for by what I can see. I want to know that God, and I want to be reminded from this day forward, I want to be reminded that God is looking 24/7 at my heart. But anyway, these are in no particular order, but the second thing I notice is the responsibility of the condition. When David comes in at 13 years old, God said, "That's him, anoint him." And we all know why. We all know why, don't we? How many knows why? Nobody knows why. Well, that's why we're in church, I guess, so I can tell you why. We know why that David was picked, because God was looking for a man after his own heart. It's coming back to you now, right? God was looking for a man that was after his own heart. And we know according to Acts chapter 13 that David was such a man at 13. Get that, young people. David was called a man at 13. God viewed David as a man at 13. He wasn't a man by his physical measurements. He wasn't a man by his muscles and stature. He was measured as a man in God's eyes because he was a man after God's own heart at 13. You don't have to wait till you're 25 or 30 or 40. You don't have to wait. Listen, you can be after God's heart. Your heart beat after God's heart. Amen. Want what God wants. Desire what God desires. Amen. Go for what God wants you to go for. So there is the responsibility of the condition. Here's the point behind that. David didn't just wake up one morning and be in the condition that he was in when he walked in that day and God said, "That's him." David made some decisions that catered to that. David made choices that catered to that. A lot of times when Eliab probably wanted to go, do something that would help him physically, David probably did something that helped him spiritually. Are y'all getting this? You're not accidentally or automatically just going to show up one day and voila, there you are, and you're going to be what God's looking for. David did not wait till they went and got him to start saying, "Okay, I'm going to make some decisions now that's going to honor God." No, David had evidently been doing it for months and even years, making decisions and choices that would do something to prepare him to be what God is looking for. I'm afraid people plays games with their spiritual life, and then when God needs somebody, there's nobody available. There's preachers due to age and physical condition. There's preachers, I mean, everywhere that's on the last few days or months. I mean, they're on that descending part of their ministry. I mean, they're still called to preach. They're going to still serve in some capacity, but their abilities are getting less, and their strength is getting less, and all of that. And guess what? When they step aside, that's when the David already needs to be prepared, already needs to make choices and decisions to be ready to step into that position and into that place, into that responsibility that God wants. When God was, let's just take David, that's who I'm preaching about. If let's take David, we don't know when he started making spiritual decisions. Brother McWilliams, we don't know when he started practicing with that sling. We don't know when he learned to start playing the harp. Just to look at that, I've watched YouTube videos on people playing a harp. How they do that is beyond me. I mean, it'd be about like taking that piano right there. That's a big version of a harp. That thing's full of strings and all kinds of gadgets in there. Turn that thing up and be able to hit the right one and hit those the right ones in sequence. David prepared and gave himself and wasn't foolish with his, wasn't wasteful with his youth. And I'm talking about his very young years, and give himself to that so that when it was time for a replacement, amen. And David was out there tending the sheep. He may not even have known what was going on. He may not even have known what was going on. But God had been working in David's heart all of those months and weeks and years, putting it in his heart. You need to learn how to use a sling. He probably didn't even know there was such a thing as a Goliath or a giant. David, you need to be in shape, son. You need to be in shape physically. He didn't know that one day he was going to have to run down a lion that had a lamb in his mouth. He didn't know that he was going to have to tackle a bear and deal with a bear barehandedly. But when the time come, he was in shape. When the time come, he was ready. You know why? I'm talking about the responsibility of inward purity. It's on me. The condition I am in inwardly is based on my choices and my decisions. So there is, man, there's a lot that could be said right there. And look at what you're doing. Look at your choices. Look at your direction. Look what you're doing to develop yourself, to be ready so that when God needs you, are you ready? Sanctify the Lord God in your heart and be always ready to give an answer to every man of the hope that is within you. Be ready, be ready. I don't know if I'm going to do this Sunday, but I'm ready. I don't know what's going to happen, but I'm ready. Amen. I don't know about tomorrow. I don't know if it's going to hold a battle or what in my life. I don't know what kind of phone call I might get after a while. I don't know. You don't know. But we ought to be ready. Amen. Don't wait till the storm hits to start looking for the umbrella. Amen. Be ready, amen. God, help us to know that my condition is attached to my responsibility. And I can't get close to saying that without saying that one saying that I've said hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, that your spirituality is your responsibility. And every child of God wants to be used. Every child of God. I don't care if you, this young lady right here got saved last Friday, I believe that's right, last Friday night. It don't matter if you just got saved or if you've been saved a long time. Everybody has a desire. It comes in with the birth. It comes in with salvation. It comes in with the nature of God. It comes in. Oh, I feel the Lord tonight. Amen. It comes in with the Spirit of God, a desire to want to serve God and want to honor God. And when David walked in, Brother Scott, 13 years old, and Samuel got that horn of oil out and started anointing him, David probably said, you know what? Man, I'm glad I didn't go the direction that Eliab went, because the Bible said the Lord refused him. You can read that ever how you want to read it. But Eliab was rejected not because of his size. He was rejected because he had no heart for God. Eliab could have taken Goliath out. Eliab could have done that, but he had muscles, but he didn't have faith. He didn't have a heart. Amen. Well, that's right. God help us to not focus on what the world focuses on. There's the reasoning. You just kind of reason and think, well, this right here ought to work. This right here, I'm focusing on the outside. And you know, listen, you know I preach about dressing right and all that. But I want to tell you right now, you can dress right and be as wicked in your heart as you can be. Amen. That's right. Now, I'm not minimizing it. I'm just stating the point that the outward is not what makes you spiritual. It may be attached to it. It may be somewhat of the outcome as the inward produces the outward. Amen. Then that, yes, it's attached to spiritual. But I'm telling you, I've seen ladies that wear dresses plumb to the floor, and they had a tongue that was 4 miles long. And split on the end. I've seen people, I'm telling you, they dot every I and cross every T, but they got an attitude that would stink up 10 states. That's right. Well, we're having a good time, ain't we? So there's the reasoning look. The reasoning limitation, that is, you can't look within somebody's heart. You don't know what's in their heart. The responsibility that's behind the conditioning that you're in. Thirdly, the requirements. God is telling Samuel, this is what I'm looking for. This is what I'm looking for when I need a position filled, when I need a task accomplished, there's a work that needs to be done. Samuel, this is what I'm looking for. Well, if we could get a hold of that tonight. Be what God is looking for. I still remember preaching in the Men's for Christ meeting down at Gant Street a few years ago. And I remember there was probably 400, at least 400 people there. All men, young men and young men and boys there in that Men's for Christ meeting. I had it prearranged. I had 7 men to come in there, Brother Scott, representing Eliab and Shammah and Abinadab and all them down through there. And then over here, Brother Randy, I had a 13-year-old. And I started coming down the line acting like I was God looking for someone to fill the spot. And I come to Eliab and I checked his muscles and I looked at his height and I checked him out. And then I said, "Nope. You got the external, but you don't have nothing on the inside." And he moved on past him. And the Lord gave me this little statement. Some of the young people probably remembers it, because I said that same statement at Light on the Mountain Youth Camp. God is willing to look over what he's not willing, or he's willing to look over what he's not looking for. If he comes to you, let's just take this role right here, not picking on him. If he comes to Brother Fultz, he comes right here, but God's looking for what he's looking for, and he comes to Brother Fultz and it's not there, he will go right to the next, and then he will go to the next, and he will just keep looking over and looking past what he's not looking for until he finds somebody, regardless of how young they are. It does not matter how, amen, Lord. It doesn't matter how young they are. He's looking for somebody that's got a heart for him. And when he passed by those that were ready and able and looked like physically could do the trick and do the job, but when he come to a little stripling, that's what Saul called David in chapter 17, was a stripling. Look that up in the Hebrew, means he had one stripe in his pajamas. He was so little he could get out of the rain under a clothesline. But God said, that's what I'm looking for right there. Amen. Listen, there is the requirement. Do we understand, RBT? Do you understand? Do I understand? Do we understand what God is looking for here? His heart. That's his requirement. That's what he was looking for. You know why? That's what he wants to use. What would happen if God would take the youth choir and the adult choir and everyone that makes up both of those choirs, amen, or the ensemble group or the solos or the duets or the trios or quartets or whatever, and everybody in it had a heart for God. Oh, the power of God that would be upon them, that singing. God is not looking for talent. Had he been looking for talent, he would have stopped at Eliab, or he would have stopped at Abinadab, or he would have stopped at Shammah. Those men were warriors. Those men were trained. He would have stopped there. He's not looking for talent. He's looking for heart. He's looking for a... That's where he's wanting to put that anointing on. Amen. And Brother Fultz, I've been preaching 37 years, a little over 37. And I'm telling you, I don't want to lose that fire that was in me. I'm telling you, I couldn't get enough. Amen. Oftentimes we'd go pray all night with some of us young preachers. We'd get together. We'd go to either somebody's house, or we'd go out in a cornfield. We'd go up on Turkey Pen Gap and get in a laurel thicket. Hey, man, or we'd go to the church. We'd go to the church and just leave the lights down low or turn just enough lights on where we could see where everybody was at. And we'd pray and pray and pray and pray and pray and pray. I want to tell you, you spend a lot of time in prayer and you get serious and you get clean and you get open before God. I want to tell you what happened every time. It would end up in an absolute explosion of worship. Amen. I don't know if we're getting this or not, but I'm wanting to get it, whether anybody else does or not. God is requiring. Preachers, God is not requiring your eloquence of speech. God is not requiring us to be able to put together an outline and, amen, and alliterate the points and all of that. And I'm not against that, but that's not the message. The outline is not a message. It's just a skeleton on which you hang the meat. God's looking for heart. Oh, Lord, help us, Jesus. So there is the reasoning that's behind this statement. There's the responsibility behind this statement. There's the requirement behind this statement. There's the readiness behind this statement. David was a man after God's own heart, and the Lord anointed him. When he killed Goliath, best we can tell, he was about 16 years old when he killed Goliath. And Brother Aaron, he had already killed the bear and the lion before that at some point. So somewhere between 13 and 16, he killed that bear and that lion. I don't think I'd tackle that, not without a bazooka or a high-powered rifle or something. He run them down. He just run them down, ripped them open like a kid, just ripped them. Amen. How's our heart tonight? There's a lot that we could say, more we could say. How's the purity of our heart? Amen. David was, I noticed this, David was a man after God's own heart. Singular. He didn't have to have a crowd. He didn't have to have a group. He didn't have to have a following. David on the backside of nowhere, tending sheep, being faithful to everything that Jesse, his daddy, would tell him to do. He was being developed to be what God needed in the future. Amen. Are we going to be ready when... Listen, we don't know. We have no idea what we're going to be facing in this country. We have no idea what we're going to be facing. Are we ready? If you don't remember anything else, please remember this. And it's a reminder because I've already said it numerous times. God's eye is on your heart. Your affection, the center of you. Amen. Where your desire, I've said that, where your desires are formed, where your affection is at, where your aspirations are at. God's looking at that. Do we have a heart for Him? A lot of preachers are getting discouraged because they're trying to push and pull and trying to get people to be excited and trying to get people to be stirred up about something that they don't even have a heart for. Do you believe tonight, I'm right now done, do you believe tonight that we could sing Amazing Grace, never miss a word, and never think about one of the words that we've sung? Are we not guilty of that? Singing the songs out of the hymn book, Brother Craddock? Sang the words with our mind way over yonder somewhere.
That's true.
Listen to preaching and our mind elsewhere. Lord, help us. And there's a connection between your heart and your mind. Remember the verse in Proverbs, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Most of us tonight are concerned more about the outward, and that has its place, because you cannot look at our text verse tonight without seeing that important thing. That is an important thing, because man looketh on the outward appearance. Man can't see God inside me. Man does look on the outward appearance. You can't get away from that. And man's who we're trying to reach. Man's who we're trying to win. Man, amen. That's right, isn't it? And if I'm interested in winning them and all they can see is what they can see, then I need to make sure that what they see matches what they can't see that's on the inside. I need to let the hidden man of the heart be manifested through my life, my actions, my attitude, my appearance, everything about the outward. I need to do that. Why? Because of those I'm trying to win, those that are around me that's lost can't see my heart. They can only see my outward. And so I need... For witnessing purposes, I need to make sure that I'm not a stumbling block. I need to make sure that I'm a good example. Isn't that right? Amen. Let's all stand on our feet. Our Father, as we come in Jesus' name, dear Lord, I ask you to help us tonight. Lord, you spoke to my heart and dealt with my heart. And Lord, there's other places, other examples throughout the scripture, no doubt, that would be proof text and additional points, additional things that could be said about the subject tonight. And Lord, it's very simple tonight, but Lord, help us to look at our heart, because that's where you're looking. Lord, help us to know that though I can hide things outwardly from man, help me to know tonight that I cannot hide anything from your eyes inwardly. Lord, Hebrews chapter 4, you said all things are naked and open under the eyes of Him with whom we have to do. speaking about you, Lord. You see us. There's nothing we can do to cover it up. There's nothing we can do to disguise it, because you see us. You see through. You know. God, help us, Lord, to focus our attention on inward purity, inward godliness, inward Christlikeness. And Lord, we know as we yield to the Holy Spirit on the inside that the Holy Spirit is to conform us to the image of Jesus, and He will take us and He will form and He will conform our heart, our affection, our desires as we yield to Him and obey Him and let Him lead us. Lord, that You can make us what we need to be what You're looking for when the time is needed. And God, You've never saved anybody that You didn't want to use and that You cannot use and that You need to use. Everybody You save, You've got a purpose. Lord, help us, I pray, to make choices. Make choices, dear Lord, decisions, commitments that'll make us more usable in Your sight and in Your hands. Lord, I pray this will weigh heavy upon us. Even as we prepare to leave here momentarily, God, please help us, I pray. Your will be done, Father, in Jesus' name. As we wait just a moment, there's several in the altar today. How are you doing in your heart? What's in your heart? What's on the inside that you know is not pleasing to the Lord? That is not Christ-like? What's on the inside that the Spirit of God is putting His finger on? No doubt there's probably things on the outward that the Spirit of God is putting His finger on, but that's not as critical and that is not as detrimental as things on the inside that the Spirit of God is working on. Just ask yourself tonight, do I have a heart for the Lord? Do I have a heart for the things of God? If you do, it'll be evident. Especially to you, it will be. Because I know what's on the inside of me more than anybody else. You know what's on the inside of you more than anybody else. And if you claim to be saved tonight, you claim to be saved, you claim to know the Lord, and you do not have a heart for Him, something is wrong. I can't say you're not saved, but I can say there's something wrong. Either carnality's come in and has brought death into your heart, has got you messed up on the inside, but something definitely is wrong. Amen. You can look this way. Thank you so much for being here tonight. I trust God will speak to you. He's been speaking to me, and I want Him to continue to speak to me about what we looked at tonight, about my heart, what God sees.